Blog Talk Radio.
I was having challenges with my old bank. Lots of red flags. Yellow ones too. Fees, penalties,
unnecessary fees,
playing dirty. So I broke up with bad banking and moved on with SoFi Checking and Savings. Now I get up to 2.0% APY on all my money and pay no account fees. Feels good to get my money right.
Bankers disqualified.
Break up with bad banking. Get 2.00% interest and earn up to $300 when you set up direct deposit. SoFi, get your money right.
Money talks. So put your money where your mouth is. Be a voice today by donating to Be a Voice. Cash App, $, Be a Voice Tour. That's $, BEAVOICETOUR. Be a Voice Tour. Or donate via Venmo at Be a Voice. If you would like to donate via credit card, you must call the Be a Voice office at 844-642-8378, extension 111. Again, 844-642-8378, extension 111. Be a Voice today. This is Dr. Chinchilla Donesia, the commissioner of WBNN. For those of you that have been having trouble tuning into WBNN's programming due to phone service provider issues with Metro, T-Mobile, or Cricket, I have a solution for you. Go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Play Store, download the TextNow app onto your cell phone, choose a phone number, and then you will be able to tune into all of WBNN's programming. I am the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J. You're now tuned into WBNN News Forum, brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia, with host and anchor, investigative reporter, Chinchilla J. Media. Hey, everybody, this is your girl, Chinchilla Donesia, a.k.a. Chinchilla J. And welcome to another segment of News Forum. Tonight is Sunday, September 25th, 2022. And tonight on News Forum, death, torture, and medical neglect behind prison walls. How long will these inhumane practices continue to be swept under the rug? Well, here on News Forum, we say no more of what happens in prison stays in prison. No, no way. Not today. Tonight, we will hear the case of John Basco, who was mysteriously found dead in a cell in Oklahoma at a detention center. We will also hear the story of Castillo Vaughn, who has been tortured through medical neglect at Elmore Correctional Facility in Alabama. Of course, joining me tonight, as always, criminal defense attorney Caroline Turner. Also, co-hosting with me tonight, Pastor Francetta Mays of the NAACP in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And my special guest tonight is paralegal, community activist, and the founder of Oklahoma Coalition Against People Abuse, Michael Washington, all live right here tonight on News Forum with the girl Chinchilla J. So don't you dare go nowhere. Keep it right there. News Forum with the girl will be right back after this. Right the Wrong Coalition and Be a Voice would like to thank sponsor Sound Therapy with Magic Man Peru LLC, offering sound therapy as a form to bring the best instead of the beast out of us. Thank you, Magic Man Peru LLC, for your sponsorship of Be a Voice. Find out how you can also be a sponsor by dialing 844-642-8378, extension 111. To continue the advocacy work, to free the wrongfully incarcerated, to end mass incarceration and child life without the possibility of parole. For more information, contact Be a Voice at 844-642-8378, Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. until 7 p.m., extension 111. Be a Voice today. Thank you to my millions of listeners worldwide. News Forum with your girl Chinchilla J now has over 17 million listeners. News Forum broadcasts live each and every Sunday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time right here on WBNN. News Forum is brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Chinchilla Jonesia is host and anchor and investigative reporter. If you're listening tonight via the World Wide Web and would like to talk, comment, vent, or ask a question, you must dial 516-453-9133. Again, that number is 516-453-9133. If you're already listening tonight via phone and would like to talk, comment, vent, share a story of injustice or corruption, or ask a question to one of our guests, please press 1 and you will be placed into the caller queue. Please keep in mind that while News Forum is a very controversial show with many controversial topics as well as controversial callers and guests, and while we allow freedom of speech for all, we ask that you refrain from using profanity. And also, keep in mind that some of the views of our guests, as well as our hosts, are not always the views of News Forum, WBNN, or Ngozi Time Multimedia. To reach Chinchilla Jonesia after the show, you may call her Monday through Friday at 844-642-8378, extension 888. Again, that number is 844-642-8378, extension 888. Like and follow Ms. Controversy herself, Chinchilla Jonesia, on Facebook, and at Princess Chinchilla on Instagram. Chinchilla has one L. And now, here she is, host and anchor, investigative reporter, Chinchilla J. Hey, everybody. It's your girl, Chinchilla J. How are you this evening? And welcome to another segment of News Forum. It is the last Sunday in the month of September. And next Sunday, we will be to October, everybody. Wow. Which means we only have 2 more months left in this year. That is craziness. This year has zoomed by so fast. And there's still so many people that are not being a voice. They're not standing up for justice. They're not fighting against injustices. And it's so very sad when each and every day in this country we have so many injustices that we're facing. And tonight, you know, wow, it's a pickup from last week, because last Sunday night we heard the case of Kedrick Bowie, who mysteriously died in a Georgia prison. And his mom is still fighting for justice for her son. He was healthy, but yet they found him dead. And there's so much cover-up and corruption within these prison systems. And people
are dying left and right in these prisons, healthy men, healthy women. And it's just so sad. And it is time to speak up, people. Stop being quiet. Don't allow this government to make you keep your mouths closed, because justice has to be served. Accountability has to happen. You know, people are not being held accountable for these crimes they're committing within these prisons. And I'm not talking about just inmates. I'm talking about the COs. I'm talking about people that work in these prisons that are committing crimes every day. And they're untouchable. But why? They should not be. No one in this country should be untouchable from the law. If you commit a crime, I don't care who you are, you have to pay the time just like everyone else. And you have to pay the time for the crimes you committed. They're wrongfully incarcerated people doing time for crimes they have not committed. And we have these corrupt officials from every branch of government that's corrupt. So many are committing all types of crimes each and every day, but yet we don't hear about it. They don't go to jail. You know, it's not in the papers. It is just ridiculous. It's not on mainstream media, and that has to stop. It has to stop. You should not be able to buy your way out of jail time or buy your way and pay off people in high positions, those people that are spiritually wicked in these high places, okay? You should not be able to pay them off so that your crime will go unnoticed, covered up, swept under the rug. It's ridiculous, and I am sick of it. And all of you should be sick of it, too. And tonight, the man that is my special guest tonight, his name is Michael Washington. And, you know, he is going to tell us about John Basco. And it's such a sad situation that here's another man died in prison, you know, and a mysterious death. It's suspicious. And you're going to find out why his death has a lot of suspicion behind it when you find out about Mr. Basco, you know. And first, I definitely want to give my condolences to his family, because they lost a loved one. His parents are mourning, his siblings, his children. You know, it is ridiculous that these things happen in this country. And they continue to happen each and every day and more, even while there's, you know, a few of these cases are being exposed of prison deaths, but not enough. But yet they still happen. And there are inmates now that are able to send things to their loved ones. And, you know, I get so much stuff every day. It's crazy. The stuff that goes on in these prisons, people, if only you knew. We need to wake up and really see what's happening. And it's so unjust. It's unfair in these horrendous, inhumane conditions within the prison system in the United States of America. You would expect some of these conditions to be found over in these third world countries, but come on now, America. You're acting like a third world country with these prison systems that are just unlivable. And people are not treated like human beings. And that should not be happening in this country. It is ridiculous. People should not be dying behind bars unless it's a real medical reason that they've died. And I'm not talking about from medical neglect, which is another story we're going to be talking about tonight. And, you know, it's just so ridiculous. It's just crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And you people, you all need to speak up. You need to start writing to these prisons and you know, to your senators, to your state representatives about things that are going on. I don't see how they sleep at night. I really don't. I really don't. I don't see how they sleep. How can they sleep? They shouldn't, but they do. And they do because they are spineless individuals. They're heartless. They're just cruel. And to me, I think they must be aliens because a human being should not treat other human beings that way. So anyway, let's speak with Caroline Turner tonight, my dear friend, criminal defense attorney, Caroline Turner. How are you tonight, Caroline?
I am well, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks, Caroline. Fine, but just, you know, totally disgusted at what's continuously happening within our prison system in this country. It's just really ridiculous, Caroline, absolutely ridiculous. And, you know, it's just heartbreaking to hear these stories each and every week. It's ridiculous. And I'm just really fed up with this stuff. And I just want to see people that are responsible for these crimes behind the walls to be held accountable, just like we want to see people responsible for wrongful convictions to be held accountable. You know, it's really such a shame, Caroline. What are your thoughts on these issues tonight?
Oh, my goodness. We've just got to really hold police, prison officials. We've got to hold everybody accountable. I mean, that's the only way that these things are going to stop. You know, the only way the police shootings are going to stop is if we hold the police accountable. Nothing to do in some cases.
Yeah.
But, and that's only when we've got them on camera, but it's the same in prison. With prison guards, so often the abuses are not caught on camera. And it's really hard to make them accountable because you can't prove it. It's an inmate's word against, you know, a CO. And whose word are they going to take? They're always going to take the CO's. And furthermore, they're going to make the inmate's life even more miserable if they make complaints. And there'll be retaliation. And they just get away with it time and time again. And
right.
So, yes, the answer is some sort of accountability. There should be cameras in certain areas of the prisons and things. I mean, there are. But it's always, these things always tend to happen outside where the cameras are. So, you know, it all begins and ends with accountability. If people realize that they're going to be criminally charged for doing the things that they do in their positions of power, then they'll stop doing those things if that is the case. They'll carry on if they get away with it.
Yeah, they will. And, you know, they're constantly getting away with this. And, you know, and exactly, that's why they're continuously committing these crimes, because they're not being held accountable. But it's time for that to change. And it's time for, you know, like I said in the opening, no more, you know, like prison, the prisons and the government, you know, especially in the prison system, and even, you know, behind closed doors within this government, that things that they do that we never find out about, deals they make that we never find out about. But it's time out for all that stuff. Like, you know, the saying, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Well, that's what this prison system is like. You know, what happens behind prison walls stays behind prison walls. But no. Not here on News Forum, because we will expose every injustice behind prison walls and outside of prison walls, because it's time for all of these criminals to do some time. And I definitely want to see these criminals do some time that have not done any time and been getting away with even, you know, murder, burglary, robbery, rapes, and everything else they've been getting away with. And I am really sick of it, absolutely sick of it. It's absolutely so sad. We're going to speak with Francetta for a moment. And then we're going to get into our conversation tonight about Castillo Vaughn, who has been experiencing medical neglect in Alabama. It's just so sad. It's absolutely sad. How are you tonight, Francetta?
You. I'm outstanding.
I'm good.
How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. Thank you. Wow. Now, what do you think, just briefly, just give me some thoughts right now on these criminals that are sitting up in high places and not being held accountable. Just give me a little quick little something.
Well, they aren't heartless, as you stated. They're paid. I mean, that's the bottom line. You know, they're not heartless. Their motive, they sleep real good because their bank accounts look good. And when you're motivated by money, there's a money trail. So it's a matter of the people understanding their position as the employers, as I've continued to say, and we unite together so that we can start making sure that people are accountable and start comparing these cases and start getting some examples, making some examples out of these politicians and people in office.
Definitely. And that's what needs to happen, but it's not. And like I said, you know, it's so sad, but, you know, people should not be able to buy their way out of prison because we have so many politicians that are committing crimes. And I'm not talking about the ones that are motivated by money because, yes, money speaks volumes to those that have greed and that are, you know, have a spirit of love, the love of money. But these politicians and these police officers and different branches of government that are, you know, committing crimes out here because they're out here committing rape. They're out here murdering people and they're getting away with it. They're out here robbing and stealing, you know, corporate embezzlement and all types of stuff like that, money laundering. They're doing all of this stuff, and they're even, you know, with the sex trafficking ring, human trafficking.
Right.
They're doing all that stuff, child pornography, and they're committing all these crimes, but yet they're not doing any time, and they need to do some time for these crimes. And it's just so ridiculous, and I am absolutely sick of it. It's just so sad.
It's going to take more people speaking up, and that's all I'm alluding to there, is that when people are silent, the masses that are running, and it does come back down to money, because people that even when they're corrupt and they're doing this stuff, the human trafficking, that goes back to money. The crack epidemic, they put crack in the low income communities just to set them up for this human kidnapping that they have going on justifiably right now. So all of it is marketing. From the time you get a birth certificate, they've already designated you as a worker. You're either going to fall into the workforce or you're going to fall into the prison system.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, that is so true. It's, you know, it's just ridiculous. And as I always say, you know, we definitely do not have enough people speaking up and standing up for justice. And so many people are still walking in fear. And, you know, I always like to say, God has not given me the spirit of fear, but that of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And, you know, it's like, so that makes me wonder, like, are people... And I don't, yeah, that, you know, it's probably going to fit at some people, but okay. Are people really dealing with the full deck today? Do they have sound minds? Or their minds are cloudy with misinformation, misguidance, and everything else, that their minds are not really thinking on the level that they should be? And their eyes are closed, their eyes are blinded to what's actually going on in this country with this criminal injustice system. You know, it's just so sad. It's so sad. So those of you, you know, if you're not, don't believe in God, maybe that's why you're not speaking up, because you don't have God in your life and you're walking in fear. But if you serve God, you definitely should not be walking in fear. And
that's right.
It's, and it's just so sad, Francetta. It's absolutely sad. Very sad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Caroline, what are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts on people walking, living in fear?
Yeah, and anything else that we just said?
Well, I think there's a whole media frenzy that the whole media circus revolves around fear. We've been taught to fear. I think, you mm-hmm. know, it's the whole kind of the way they tell the news, the people they show on the news, the breaking news, the everything else is programming us to be afraid. I don't necessarily think it's whether you believe in God, if you believe in God, then and you truly do. I know plenty of fearful Christians, so it's not just a question of that. It's a question of whether you put your money where your mouth is. And if you really do believe in God, whether you actually absorb the peace and the sense of calmness, you know, my favorite verse is "Be still and know that I am God," because it's short and I can remember it. But most importantly, it's because, you know, you say it enough times and you really become still and calm. But our whole society is programmed to fear right now. And so I can't necessarily blame people for being afraid, because that's what we've been programmed to do. It's whether you're aware of it and then can work at it and do something about it. And sure, faith helps a lot. But some people are just naturally more anxious than others anyway, particularly people who've suffered horrible trauma in their lives. So I don't think we can just put it down to those who believe and those who don't. I think we have to address the fact that this nation feeds off fear. Lots of people are making money out of scaring us, basically. And we have to understand that.
Mm, wow. Good input from both of you ladies. Thank you so much for your input on that tonight. Now, while we're waiting for Michael Washington, who's a special guest tonight, we're going to talk about the case down in Alabama. There's a man down there in Elmore Correctional Facility there, and he has been neglected medically, and it's such a shame. Like, the pictures of him before, and there's pictures of him, a healthy looking man, you know, very healthy, and now it's like he looks like the pictures that we, you know, were shown back in high school and, you know, and throughout schooling of people during the days of the Holocaust, where they were starved to death in those concentration camps. That's what he looks like now. His body is so frail. You can see his ribs. And, you know, he has this big, long surgical scar down the front of his body, like from, I guess, from above his navel on down, which looks like he may have had some type of, like maybe people usually have that type of scar when they get their intestines taken out, or they have some type of intestinal problem and they remove part of their colon or their intestines. That's what that looks like. And the conditions in that prison are so very horrendous. His name is Castillo Vaughn. And it's just so sad that in Alabama, there's so many people that are experiencing these problems in Alabama. And not just there, all around this country, they have some prisons with so many conditions that are just unlivable. But yet they house these men and women in these prisons, and it's just so unfair. So his sister, Cassie, she has, you know, reached out, and she's trying to get justice for her brother and get him to get the medical treatment he deserves. And now there is an attorney that just recently has taken on, that's what he says so far, that they have retained him. And he's going to try to help him get the medical attention that he needs. And he was supposed to be transferred to another facility. And as far as the medical treatment, still nothing. What do you think about that case, Caroline, and the conditions there at Elmore Correctional Facility?
Oh, it's appalling. And there is a duty to make sure that inmates don't end up in that state because they don't have alternatives. So the prison, I mean, the rest of us can choose which doctors we can go to. We can choose which hospitals we go to a degree as far as our medical insurance allows us or whatever. But if you're in prison, you don't have choices. So they are obliged to give emergency treatment, give life-saving treatment, do medical procedures for the prisoners in the prison. And so the fact that somebody could have ended up in that state, it is just, it's horrendous. It's awful.
It's very awful. And, you know, he looks like, you know, on the brink of death right now. And, you know, by the grace of God, he's, you know, still hanging in there. And his family, they're so distraught. And, you know, they happen to find out about his condition and how he looks now from other inmates taking pictures of him and sending them to them. And it's so ridiculous how something like that could happen. I mean, that prison, they really need to be held accountable. They need to be prosecuted for what they've done to this man because no one in prison should look like that at all. And he's not on a hunger strike or anything. So, I mean, it's just so ridiculous. It's crazy. Ransetta, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, when I saw the Facebook call down to the Alabama prison, and I was assured that they would do something for the gentleman, and then I started seeing that there were different people that were there. So this is a medical crisis. My thought is that especially there in Alabama, how can you be silent? If these were pit bulls, the community would be in an uproar. It's crazy to me.
Yeah, and that is so true. Okay, and really, you know, and that's a good point because, yeah, people, they tend to, in this society, they tend to care more for dogs than they do for human beings. And you're so absolutely right. If something like that was plastered all over social media with the dog being neglected medically and not being fed and looking like Castillo looks, yeah, there would have been a terrible uproar, a protest outside of the person's home. Or if it was, say, for instance, if it was one of those, the dog shelters or whatever, and they were being neglected in there. People would be protesting left and right if they've seen pictures like that. And it's so sad. It is really, really sad. And my heart really goes out to his family, and I just pray that he will get the medical attention that he needs. And I do believe from some of my sources that this man, he had that surgery. He did have surgery while within the prison. And, you know, and then it's making me wonder, you know, like Tuskegee and these other places, Holmesburg and other prison facilities that experimented on black men. It's making me wonder, you know, were they experimenting on him or, you know, what is going on? What is going on? So, you know, these are so many questions that need to be answered. And then there are other people that have experienced similar things. things there in Alabama with being neglected medically and being surgery, surgical procedures that they did not even need. So are they taking organs? I mean, what are they doing? It's crazy. And, you know, with that being said, we know in this country they do have people that go around and they kill people and take their organs, or they perform operations and remove organs, but that person will still live, but they've stolen their organs to sell them, you know, to the highest bidder or to some wealthy person that is in need of a body part or one of their family members that's in need of it. And, you know, this goes on, and people tend to not want to believe it, but it happens. And, you know, people that have organ donor on their license or on their state ID, you know, you have to be very careful. You know, I don't put that on mine because, you know, guess what? If you're in an accident or in the hospital for something and they realize, oh, wow, you're a match for somebody that's waiting for a kidney or a liver or a heart or a lung or whatever it is, hey, you may just wind up not leaving that hospital because you have organ donor on your government ID. So that's really scary. And, you know, that has happened to so many people, you know, or you may go in and wind up leaving out with one kidney, you know, because they told you something was wrong with one of them or something or another, and they had to remove it. And, yeah, they removed it to give it to someone else. How many times do people go in the hospital or go into the emergency room and for one thing, and they admit them and they tell them, you know, oh, well, we have to admit you now because this is going on. Oh, we're going to have to remove this. And, you know, and they tell people, oh, you got here just in time. Yeah, just in time to save someone else. Okay? You know, it's craziness. It's really ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. Oh, boy, I tell you. Brother O, do you have a song to play for us tonight?
Actually, I do, but I want to definitely go about what you just said. I had a friend of mine by the name of Benjamin, and, you know, Benjamin, a longtime friend of the family, and he went through a situation where he went into the hospital. And, you know, it was something wrong, you know, with the, one of the kidneys. And it's funny that you said that. Oh, there's something wrong with your kidney. You know, we need to check it about, you know, just look at it for a little while, put you under observation. Then come to find out that they removed the kidney. So you really stepped on my toe with that one because, yes, that can happen. You know, that's happened to many, many, many people. So let's get it together, guys. You know, don't go for the okie doke. That's what this young lady is saying. Don't go for the okie doke. Check on your people. A lot of people just have they're just there by themselves, man. You know, they have no. Some don't even have real good friends to rely on, let alone family. So you know, we just need to be more of a community together, man. Especially anybody in your neighborhood, man. Back in the day, man, your neighbors are more closer than sometimes your own family because you saw them every day. You didn't see your sister and your brother and your mother and your father. You know, it was the community at hand that really took the time to love and be there. So, I mean, I love what Dr. Chinchilla is saying tonight. You know, another thing she touched on, too, the organ donorship. Please be careful with that. No one needs to know your business. Especially if you get stopped by the police, something gets stopped, you know, you got to show them your ID, right? You got to show them driver's license. It says organ donors. You never know how many people have been, you know, hurt behind that. So I'm going to say on that one. Hey, Gladys.
I need.
song, Brother O. Thank you. License to Kill by Gladys Knight. That was a soundtrack on the James Bond movie, License to Kill. Wow. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Boy, oh boy. And, you know, it's like in this country, that's what they think they have, a license to kill. They think they have a license to kill. And it's so very sad. It's absolutely ridiculous. Oh, boy, oh, boy. And guess what? Some of them do have a license to kill because they've gotten a license from whoever's hired them and, you know, contracted them to do a service. And that service is murdering someone else at the expense of another. So, it, you know, it's just so sad. All right. We are going to now bring on Linda Steele. And Linda is also from Oklahoma. And she was at the press conference for John Basco's murder. And, wow. It's just so ridiculous every time I think about this case, because when you hear this, like, John, you know, he had filed a lawsuit, and, you know, I'm going to let Linda talk about all that stuff, and, you know, and this is what Caroline and I talk about often, and what happens, and, you know, why some people walk in fear. So we're going to be speaking with Linda very, very shortly. Linda, you need to press 1 because I know that you're on the line. So just press 1 and I will be getting to you. But first, we're going to go ahead and take a caller right now. Caller, you're live on the air with News Forum. How are you tonight?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, Tijilla, this is Angela.
Hey, Angela.
I was just calling in to thank you for all that you do. I'm just sitting here listening to your show. I mean, it'd be so much to take in, and so much that, you know, we just need to work on as people.
Yeah.
And I'm just so thankful that you come on here and do this. You know, so many people talk about doing stuff, yet they not moving. So I thank you for doing what you do, because you're not just talking about it, you are being about it, and I thank you for that. And I thank Brother O. I can't stop thanking him enough for providing this outlet for us. But thank you so much for what you do. I'm just sitting here listening, and I was thinking about Black Diamond when you was talking about individuals being their body parts and stuff being taken, and how many people just missing. You think about the people that's missing up in the DMV area, and all these people, they've been missing for years, and people didn't even, they just recently just started talking about it. You know, this has been going on for years and years and years, and people just now starting to talk about it. And
wow.
It's just sad, because Black Diamond, her husband, he was found at just in the morgue, stuffed with tissue paper, and all his organs was gone. And that happened in Baltimore. It really takes her to tell the story. But I really, you have to talk to her. She has a testimony. Now, this lady has been through, she could talk about the justice system. She can talk about this foster care system. She can really talk about some stuff, because she's no experience some things. And I thank you, because you bring a lot of stuff to light that people, you know, we just look over stuff, and it's happening right around us every day. And because it's not happening to us right then, we just keep turning a blind eye, and it's time to stop that. It's time to stop it.
Yes,
Come on, all these laws.
Wow.
Georgia.
Andy?
Georgia, you can get a gun. Brian Kemp need to be shaming himself. Governor Brian Kemp need to be shaming himself.
Oh, yes, definitely. He definitely does.
He need to be shaming himself. And they need to get him up out that office. And everybody that's tired of it, because every time you turn on the TV, every time you turn around, somebody done got shot, somebody done got killed, somebody done got robbed. Something happened every hour down there. Oh. And it's crazy. And all these rappers, you keep rapping about what you're doing. You go to the city of Atlanta, you go to Atlanta, you rap about it, you going to jail. She going to prosecute you. And she going full force. She ain't playing. But I'm gonna go because I can go all night with you, because you be touching on some good stuff. I love you so much for all that you do. I can't tell you enough how much I thank you. Words just can't express it. So you keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
And keep it.
Thank you so much, Angie. I love you too. Yeah, I love you too, Angie. And thank you so much for all that you do as well. And everybody, Angela is a host on this network as well. She has a show called Walking in Purpose with Angela Thomas Smith. And I thank you so much. And she had a show last Wednesday. And her next show will be in 4 Wednesdays from last Wednesday. Thank you so much, Angela. And she's the former commissioner, third reigning commissioner of this network. Thank you so much, Angela. Wow. And she's definitely right. In Georgia, you know, Governor Kemp, he's the governor there. And we have so many people that we're advocating there for in Georgia, in the state of Georgia. Bishop Kenneth Atkins, Ali Shabazz, Garland West, Travis Raybone, Clinton Nelson, and so many others there in Georgia that are wrongfully incarcerated. And, you know, they're just not moving fast enough. And a lot of these cases were cases that were, you know, tried by or when Jackie Johnson was the district attorney. And she's corrupt. She's horrible. She's racist, and, you know, she was, indicted by the grand jury during the Ahmaud Arbery case for not bringing in the two men, or, well, actually the three men, but one man that she knew personally, you know, because he worked for her. He was the lead investigator, lead detective for her office, okay? And, you know, him and his son and their neighbor, they hunted Ahmaud down and slaughtered him, you know? And she did not want to bring them in. You know, Greg McMichael, he called her on the phone and told her what he did, what happened, and she did not tell him to come in. She told the police not to go and arrest him, not to do anything. And so this is what I'm talking about, people, okay? Spiritual wickedness in high places that we're wrestling against, you know, powers of darkness. It's so sad. But this is what we face in this country. And hey, they were friends, and she wanted to cover up what he had done. But thank God, God said, not this time. And, you know, they're behind bars, and that's where they need to stay, because it's a shame, and she needs to be behind bars and stay behind bars, too, for all the corruption that she committed, all the crimes she committed during her reign as DA and as a prosecutor. It doesn't make sense. And all of her cases need to be looked at that was under her watch. And these men, they need to be released from prison, because there's so many red flags, and it shows that they were framed. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, we're going to now bring on Linda Steele. She is actually running for Attorney General, I believe, there in Oklahoma as well. But we're not going to talk about that tonight. We're going to talk about her activism tonight, and she's going to talk to us about John Bosco and his murder. And I'm calling his murder because that's how I see it, okay? A suspicious, mysterious death in prison. And when you find out his background, you'll know why I'm calling it that and why his family and everyone else that knows him feel the same way. All right, Linda, how are you tonight? Welcome to News Forum.
Hello, Ms. Chinchilla. Thank you for having me on today, and thank you for that introduction. I am excited to talk about all of these topics, and really it all wraps into my campaign and, you know, everything that's going on here in Oklahoma. It really needs to be talked about, and so I'm honored to be on your platform because Oklahoma really needs one right now.
Yes, definitely, definitely. So now, before we talk about John, now what do you think about the case in Alabama with the young man that he's not being given any medical attention? He's experiencing medical neglect. He's on the brink of death. He's so malnourished. It's just so sad. Oh my God, he's so frail. You can see his ribs and his legs and his whole body is just, oh my God, it's just so horrible, Linda. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, do you know anything of political campaign right now in Oklahoma? Just in case. Because I haven't been following too closely outside of Oklahoma, but any malnourishment that happens in America to me, especially if we're dealing with our own citizens, regardless of circumstance, is devastating. Humanity, to me, is something that matters the most. We don't make excuses to mistreat people. We don't make excuses to inflict harm on people. I was a soldier for 12 years. And, you know, we had rules of engagement even when we were overseas. And to see America completely neglect them is a tragedy. It's a tragedy. And when we aren't aware of these situations because we get so tunnel visioned in our own circumstances that are happening and we get woke up again, you know, it's just, as an activist, I'm devastated. I'm devastated when I hear of people allowing their inherent authority to inflict pain on other people. That's not why, you know, we are elected or given these positions. That's not why people, you know, choose to serve, I hope. And when we hear the treatment and we hear the excuses, it's devastating.
Yes, definitely, definitely. Okay, and now... with John's case. Now, you were at that press conference the other week, along with Michael, and you met John's family and other activists out there that day and, you know, friends and concerned citizens, concerned about what happened there in that that detention center. On September 11th. So tell us about that.
I was there previously. I was there for the protest as well. When we heard about John Bosco's death, you know, we stood up a protest immediately. That was all Michael Washington, and he's been holding down the awareness that's going on at Oklahoma County Court or Oklahoma County Corrections Facility. It's disgusting. We've lost 14 people this summer alone. John Bosco was our number 14. And, you know, people really need to know that. There's another amazing woman named Gloria who has been keeping record. We have 86 total deaths since 2016 when this jail was erected. You know, unjustifiable deaths. But John Bosco is really, you know, if his case should be heard because he was set to testify against COs at that facility. He should have never been brought there. Everybody knew. This was public information. This made the news in 2019 when all this got started. This is a second family member of the Basco family to die. You know, it's so much more than just this one situation, and I'm outraged and I'm surprised that we don't have a bigger outcry here in Oklahoma. We had his family out there. We've had press conferences. We're having another meeting on October 1st at Lake Hefner at 5 p.m. because we don't want to let this go. You know, Oklahoma and our communities here in Oklahoma, our Black community here in Oklahoma, we deserve, you know, people to know what's happening here. And it's just not talked about. And we talk about that a lot. If this was New York, you know, people would, you know, be blasting this everywhere. And here in Oklahoma, we're all still so scared that we would whisper amongst our neighbors before we were to hold another press conference. And it's, that has to change.
Yeah, yeah. Now, let me ask you a question, because I think I heard you correctly. You said that that John is the second family member that died. Now, was that behind bars as well?
Yes. You know, this is all connected. The Basco family needs to be looked into. Our correctional, you know, facilities need to be looked into. Oklahoma is a very close-knit community. We're still only made up of 4 million people, you know, where our representatives are proud to say that they're seventh-generation Oklahoman and still running the state. You know, and the John and John Basco, his case and his family is a prime example of the inherent privilege that continues to impede on our lives here.
Okay. Now the other family member, now of what relation was that family member to John?
You know, I don't want to misspeak. I want to get more information from Michael Washington. It was a part of the press conference. You can see it. News 25, Fox 25 was the only one that did a live stream covering the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But there were three news stations out there. And News 4 and News 9 did not adequately report. And so it's something we deal with here in Oklahoma on top of the many other things.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now, Linda, do you know, with John, now he was in prison before. He did prison time, and he had finished his time for a previous crime. Is that right?
Correct. Correct.
Okay. And now, what year was that? Do you know?
I'm not aware of the year. I do know, I'm not aware of the year. I'm honestly not. I know he was previously incarcerated in 2019 when the Baby Shark investigation was started. He was a part of that, and that's where a lot of this is stemming from his death this summer was. And one thing I've been tracking is the inmate filing grievance process that we have here in Oklahoma. It's the due process is completely impeded on. And, you know, John Basco should be remembered as a whistleblower. He should be remembered as somebody who, you know, stood up for himself, regardless of why he's incarcerated. Nobody deserves to be chained to a wall and forced to listen to baby songs on repeat.
Baby Shark. So that's basically what I wanted you to talk about. Like, you know, why his death is so suspicious and, you know, he mysteriously died because of what he was doing, filing that lawsuit against that prison. So talk about that. That's what I was trying to get at for you to talk about.
Absolutely. You know, John Basco was the lead in filing this grievance against the Department of Corrections, the Oklahoma County Detention Center. And it was about him and one or two other inmates, don't quote me on it, you know, had been chained to a wall and forced to listen to Baby Shark for hours. When the attention was made to COs, they were repeatedly mocked. It was something that was allowed to go on. And he was able to, when he got out, get an attorney. he was completely coherent. He had a solid case. He was what we believe is then targeted and falsely incriminated again and put back into the same facility that they were already made aware of. He had a civil suit against them. Within 3 days of being brought into that jail, he mysteriously dies. He was in good health. His attorney recollects all of his timelines of being coherent, of his experience while he was incarcerated. And this was somebody waiting for trial. Let's not forget that. You know, the right to a fair trial also goes into play here. Due process for our inmates who do have legit grievances. So many constitutional rights that John Basco knew was being violated. And I want to make that very clear. He wasn't only a whistleblower. He was aware of his constitutional rights. And the authority was afraid of that. And they have done everything to silence the mistreatment of what we hope to wake people up to is called inherent authority. And that is, you know, constitutional. People do, on a daily basis, act within their inherent authority. But John Basco knew his inherent rights came first, and that did not scare him enough. He continued to want to file that lawsuit, and I want to see that lawsuit go forward still.
Definitely.
So that's what we're going to be pressing for. And really, my role in all of this and what I hope to really be able to do is – bring activism to the forefront of Oklahoma. We should not be scared. We should be as brave as John Basco. You know, that man,
mm-hmm.
you know, had to go back to a place that tortured him. And we don't know what he experienced for 3 days. And we're not going to stop. Michael Washington has been a phenomenal activist here in Oklahoma who, if given more respect by the news, you know, we wouldn't be in this position today. This is not new information. This is nobody paying attention to Oklahoma and it continuing.
Yeah, yeah. And Michael, I've talked to him a couple of times on the phone now. And, yeah, sounds like a very awesome guy, very motivated and dedicated to what he does as far as his activism against injustice there in Oklahoma and trying his best to expose all of that injustice there. Which is so wonderful. And not sure where he is right now, but I had talked to him not too long before the show, and I'm hoping he's okay. And I know he had been having some issues with his phone and the messages and his emails. It's like, you know, because of what he's doing now. And I would not be surprised if the government is somehow blocking his lines and, you know, and all that stuff, because these are the games that they play. And I know it oh too well, you know, that they played these kind of games, and that's what they will do. And so I think that maybe what happened to him, because I know when I talked to him earlier today, like he hadn't received any of my text messages or messages from other people, and then they came through. And then his emails were not coming through. Then they did come through. And so they may have blocked him again where he's not able to receive anything or to call out or do anything. And, you know, that's such a shame because he has so much to say, you know, about what's going on there in Oklahoma and about John's case. And but they want to shut him up. They want to shut him up and others, you know, that are speaking out against the government. And, you know, so all of us that are speaking out against the government, you know, we're all targets. And, hey, but, you know, guess what? We still don't walk in fear. And we will still continue to speak up and speak out and continue to be a voice against every injustice in America. You know, so now, Linda, so they're in Oklahoma now. Okay, we're not talking about your campaign this show, but we will have you back to talk about your campaign. But
I would love
as far as your, like, activism and all of that tell me about that. How long have you been an activist, and like, what's your background and all with activism and advocacy in Oklahoma?
Absolutely. Activism, you know, I never called myself an activist until here recently. I got started because one day I woke up and I just kind of all hit me at once, a really full circle experience of my childhood and where I was at in my adult life. And to kind of give you a timeline, in 2016, when legislation passed allowing women to have combat MOSs, that changed my whole life. I was 26 years old. That was 5 years ago. Legislation passed and allowed women to have combat MOSs. Previously to that, I had been enlisted and I wanted to go infantry, but I couldn't. I was put into support, and I was in a supply role, and I worked with diesel mechanics. And, you know, there was always kind of something about me that people would tell you I just didn't always fit in. I kind of found myself in trouble. I don't try to have a mouth on me, but, you know, just things were going on around me. And I ended up, you know, I got an Article 15, which came from an assault. And I'm in Oklahoma. This is very much so a good old boy system. And so when artillery opened up to women, I took it as an opportunity to run and get out of there and finally get into combat. And I just always felt like I would acclimate better. And when I got there, I didn't realize what I would be going through is really integration. I was kind of naive. I just was focused on wanting to be an artillery woman. And the reality was, is I was stepping into an all-male gun line. You know, it was very obvious they didn't want women there. It was, you know, very sexualized, but also a very depressed environment. And through that, I started listening, and I kind of had this aha moment as these men were expressing to me wanting to do better in their adulthood than the childhood they had, which I really resonated in. And I had so much in common with these men. We all kind of came from either juvenile incarceration or homelessness. We were all abrasive adults who had attitude problems, but it made it to where we could communicate well. And I just started listening. And so from there, I started furnishing houses for these men as a way to show the equality that was missing. The Army Times wanted to show all women gun crews, and I wanted to show unity. And I thought if I would furnish these houses for these dads, because they didn't receive the resources we received as mothers, then we could start having communications about women in male-dominated industries. And what I became was a father's rights activist. I started realizing the games that were played in court. You know, I was purposely furnishing these houses because judges would use our lack of furniture or lack of home against us, even if we had to leave the house. And I wanted equality. I wanted to be respected. I didn't want to be caught in the middle between these gender wars. And I thought if I could be a voice, then it would be a voice for equality. And that started me into protesting 4 years ago in front of family court buildings in Oklahoma, New York, and about 14 states in between. And we started speaking out about these games that attorneys were playing with our lives and judges and DAs. And it just seemed like there was this whole system that was at play. Co-parenting wasn't even a solution. And women wanting to have jobs so that we could support ourselves was wrapped right into the middle of it. And so I quit my job and I started furnishing houses. I started helping to pass legislation. I started listening to parents in my community. And now I'm here. And,
okay,
you know, I truly believe that we need to support our community-led resources. Our parents are targeted in courts. We're targeted through police officers. We're targeted through DHS and CPS. And a lot of times when we as parents are forced to go through these systems, it seems like the system's goal is to erase one or both parents. And
yeah.
And so it's kind of turned my whole life into a new purpose. And I do whatever I can to support any parent. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter what gender you are anymore. I find community networks and help support the ones who matter most, our family.
All right. And that's awesome. Awesome. All right. So thank you so much, Linda, for sharing tonight. And just stay on the line. I will definitely get back to you again. We're going to take a caller, and then we're going to have Caroline weigh in. Caller, you're live on the air with News Forum. How are you tonight?
Yeah.
Caller, you're live on the air.
Hello?
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 Yes, you're live on the air.
Oh, how you doing? How you doing, Chisella?
I am fine. How are you?
I'm good. I'm blessed. You know who this is, right? You know this Kenny. You remember me, right?
Kenny Jackson?
Yeah, Kenny Johnson.
Hi, Kenny. How are
I'm blessed.
You?
Man,
you're California, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And now your case, you were arrested as a teenager, and I definitely remember you. How have you been, and how are you? What's going on with your case?
Just recently, because you know about the change.org petition that I had you sign, that I had you advocate for me as well, for Governor Newsom's office. So just recently, they had came and interviewed me on August 5th. He sent the parole. He recognized my commutation of sentence, and he sent the parole agent to come interview me on the behalf of my case. So they came and interviewed me. He came and interviewed me, and basically we talked about my upbringing, and that basically he asked about everything that I have done since me being incarcerated, about everything that I accomplished, and we basically went over like my parole plans and things like that. And he just informed me that the governor can make two decisions. He either can make immediately release me from prison, or he can make me immediately eligible for a parole hearing. So that was August 5th that I had that hearing. So they said it'd be up to like 30 to 90 days before he make a decision. So they said, he basically said that he would just dare just to interview me and investigate, you know, to see if I was the actual person, you know, that they were speaking about in this commutation, you know, to see if I was remorseful for what I have done and things like that, and just try to get a better scope of my mind state and how I am now. And so we went over all that, you know, and he just felt, he said that he felt that I was being honest and things like that. And, you know, he just said that, you know, he could see the change. He could see the change, you know, in me and things like that. And he said basically it's going to be up to the governor's office to either immediately release me or make me eligible for a parole hearing.
Okay. Well, that's awesome. That's awesome. So awesome, Kenny. And now your case, I'm remembering your case and all, yes, because I was definitely advocating for you and sending letters and everything. Now, your case is a case where you have went to a party, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And then, so everybody that's listening might be wondering what was the case about. Well, Kenny had went to a party, him and a female friend, and so apparently at this party there was a guy that didn't like him, and the guy tried to, you know, start a fight with him, and the guy pulled the gun. Kenny pulled the gun, you know, and he shot. They both shot, but the guy wind up getting shot in his shoulder, and the guy didn't die. He's still alive. He is alive and everything, and Kenny apologized to the guy. He apologized to his mother and everyone. for his actions of how he responded that night. And, you know, and he said then he wished he could have done something differently then. And so he's always shown remorse from day one of being arrested and everything. So I am happy that they're definitely moving forward to try to see about getting you out of there, Kenny, because, yeah, you don't belong in there, and you have definitely, you know, changed. And I am so glad to hear from you. And, you know, I'm glad that you called in tonight to update us on your case. Thank you so much. And Caroline Turner is on here, too. And everybody, Kenny's story was told right here on News Forum. And he was also on Cries of Innocence from Behind Prison Walls last year. Yeah. So thank you so much, Kenny, for calling in tonight. Wow. That's awesome. That's awesome. So there's a case that is looking like some light is at the end of the tunnel for Kenny. And I'm so glad. We're going to take another caller. Caller, you're live on the air with News Forum. How are you tonight?
Hi, Chinchilla. This is Mo Garman calling in from Philadelphia. How are you?
Hey, Mo. How are you? I'm fine. Thank you.
I'm doing well. That's a wonderful story about Kenny. It's nice to hear that.
Yes.
Are you ready?
So
are you
now,
sitting down?
Yeah, I'm at my computer.
Okay. I'd like to congratulate the WBNN Linear New Host of the Year, the class of 2021, Dr. Chinchilla J, on her WBNN all-time connection record with her 64th all-time with the historic Darlene Lawrence Championship honoring our late Hall of Famer. How's that for you?
Wow, that is absolutely awesome. Thank you so much, Mo. And Mo,
you're very welcome.
She's awesome. Thank you. Yes, she's a host on this network as well. She had a show this past Friday. No, that wasn't your show Friday. No. Tell everybody when your next show is. Is it October 7th? Is that what you told me the last time?
Yes, October 7th.
Okay, wow, I remember that. That's amazing. I remember that from the last time when I asked you. Okay, so make sure you guys tune into her show October 7th right here on WBNN, 9:30 p.m. Thank you so much, Mo. And did you have anything you wanted to say about anything you heard tonight? Or if not, that's fine. We're keeping right along.
I just think it's phenomenal that you're, what a good job you're doing with bringing these kind of cases to light. I just think it's phenomenal that you do this, and it's just a wonderful thing that you do for the Black community. I think it's great.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Mo. Thank you so much. Wow. Now, Caroline, what do you think about the case, the young man that called in, Kenny? There's light at the end of the tunnel for him, you know, so what are your thoughts on that and your feelings about that?
I'm absolutely thrilled that he's got hope, that he got interviewed by the parole officer. I pray that he does get out and goes home. His sentence was excessive. And as you say, he was remorseful at the time. And it sounded like it was self-defense anyway. I don't know what type of lawyer he had, but I don't know that it was a very good one because I don't know the facts of the case, of course, but it does sound like it was his actions were in self-defense to begin with. So,
yeah.
I'm just thrilled that they are contemplating commuting his sentence. That is wonderful news. It's really wonderful
news. Yeah,
it's
definitely wonderful news. Yeah, and he should have actually been out because, you know, he was only a teenager. I think at the time he was 15. And, you know, and then for them to try him as an adult, I mean, you know, that's just ridiculous. And nobody died, for heaven's sakes, you know. And, yeah, he was totally over-sentenced and totally wronged by the system, no doubt, no doubt at all. Yeah, so that was such a great news to hear that. So I'm pretty sure they will release him. He will be released. Yes, he needs to be. And he said that was August the 5th. And so, of course, we know it's never 30 days, right? So September 5th would have been 30 days, but we know how those 30 days turns into, like, most of the time 3 months or more. But, yeah, so anyway, congratulations, Kenny, and I do believe that you will be a free man, because now you are a man, and you'll be a free man very soon. All right, so I want to, before we take another caller, I want to tell you all about next weekend. Next weekend is Wrongful Conviction Awareness Weekend, I'm calling it, because on October the 1st, which is the eve of Wrongful Conviction Awareness Day, there's going to be an event virtually on Facebook. You can view it live on the Mic Test Entertainment TV's Facebook page and my page as well. And I've been asked to host this virtual event for Bishop Kenneth Atkins, who's been a guest on News Forum. His wife, Stormy, has been on here numerous times, and they've been on Cries of Innocence from Behind Prison Walls. And his case is a case that involves that corrupt DA, former DA, Jackie Johnson, down in Brunswick, Georgia. And it's just crazy with the corruption in that case, with Jackie Johnson and Greg McMichael both being a part of that case because he was the lead investigator in that case, and, you know, and so many other things. Kevin Goff, the attorney for Atkins, was also the attorney for the third man that killed Ahmaud Arbery. And that is really craziness. So we're going to be talking about his case again. And the judge had granted him a hearing for a motion for a new trial. And that did take place. It took place in April the 12th. And now here it is. We're going into October. And the judge said that in 30 days he would have his ruling. And now it is almost October and still nothing. And, you know, what are they waiting for? He should be out. They have no evidence. They have no proof. But yet they're still playing games with his life. And, you know, it doesn't make sense. So we're going to look at the evidence in that case and, you know, what they're saying, because the DA is still playing games, the new prosecutor is playing games, and Greg McMichael has played games because he hid evidence, and, you know, it's just crazy stuff. And so that will be from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., 1 hour, and his attorney, Steve Combs, will also be on that panel, and Pastor Farrell Malone will be on that panel. He's been on News Forum, as well as Cries of Innocence from Behind Prison Walls. And, of course, Stormy Atkins and
all right, I hope they didn't cut our young lady off real quick as she's talking about that situation down there in Georgia. So we're going to bring on our next caller. Call you live with News Forum. How are you tonight? Caller?
Hello.
Hey, how are you? I don't know what's going on with Chinchilla's line, but who are you and where are you calling from?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay. My name is Michelle Thompson. I am calling from Detroit, Michigan, and I was congratulating on your show. I love it. Dr. Chinchilla J, she is the queen of justice, and she has truly a loving heart to give the voice to the voiceless. I truly appreciate her because she has helped us tremendously in getting my husband's story out there. And I truly appreciate her. And that's what I call for.
Well, I appreciate you tonight. And this young lady out of Michigan, man, this is showing that love and support for our young lady. Now, of course, they cut Ms. Chinchilla J off. And, you know, I ain't going to tarry along. The last words from Caroline Turner.
Hi. I don't know what happened to Chinchilla. It's been very
I know what happened to Chinchilla, Caroline. It's gotten too heavy. There she is. She's back. I hope that's her. Just make sure that's on the line now. She's not back. I know what happened. She was talking about that situation down in Georgia, and all of a sudden her lines got crossed. But anyway, your final thoughts.
Well, my final thoughts are that hearing about the terrible case in Oklahoma, as well as hearing from Kenny, there's been bad news and good news, terrible news about the young man who died. Really good news that Kenny is closer to being released by the sounds of things. And just highlighting all these issues is just so important.
Yes, indeed.
So important. Yeah. And I'm grateful to be part of the team.
Well, thank you so much, Caroline, and your constant support. We just love you very, very, very much. And now to Pastor Mays for her final thoughts tonight. Pastor, you know, a lot of heated discussion tonight, man. You know, cut my one of my hosts move off the air. What's going on?
You know, you have to keep it real. And what's real is that we as a people, as a culture, as a community of just being humans, we have to open up our eyes up and see what's happening in our communities and our families. And that's where we have to begin. You know, the nation starts in our household, and then we have to start having the communication amongst ourselves that we don't have to get along, but we do have to come together. And the way that works is just stay in position of doing whatever it is that you do, but support those of us that's standing out on the front lines. I want to give special tribute or just give a shout out to Prentice Ponds here in Oklahoma.
Yes.
Doing Life Plus 25 for a fist fight. He's the one that got me started as an activist, because I couldn't believe that someone could literally be in prison for going on 6 years now, and the state of Oklahoma have him kidnapped. I mean, literally kidnapped. So, you know, I stand with a few others, but it's nothing like what it should be right here. We get more attention from you guys than we do from the people right here in the home state. And so I just, you know, final thought is wake up, everybody.
Well, you know, I really appreciate you and your final thoughts tonight and all the people that called in to this wonderful show. Right after this, I'll tell you how to reach our sister. All right, here we go. And thank you so much for, you know, choosing News Forum. WN has advertising through Ngozi Tai Multimedia. We're at Pinterest and we're at Twitter, and also Instagram at @Ngozi_time, Odele Malay, Ngozi at Facebook. Any comments, suggestions, or wonderful program tonight, oledelay.ngozi@gmail.com. I am your mother and father's favorite producer, Lord Sire, your mentor, Odele Malay, Ngozi, saying goodnight, good luck to all the folks out there on Force Radio that support us on a constant basis tonight. And now, this is how you be a guest.
If you would like to be a guest on News Forum and have a case of injustice, please give me a call Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 7 p.m. at 844-642-8378 to tell me about your story. And you might just be News Forum's next special guest. Would you like to donate to a good cause? Well, Right the Wrong Coalition and Be a Voice could use your support. Help them continue to expand their advocacy work for justice as they fight for freedom for the wrongfully incarcerated, exoneration, compensation, and juvenile lifers, as they stand and fight against mass incarceration, over-sentencing, wrongful convictions, gentrification, racial inequities, racism, and to change legislation throughout this country by rebirthing this criminal justice system one city at a time through their model, Criminal Justice Reborn. You may donate to Be a Voice via Cash App, $BAVoiceTour That's capital BEAVOICE, lowercase TOUR. You may also donate via Venmo at www.venmo.com/u/BEAVOICE. Venmo.com/u/BAVOICE. For more information or to find out how to become a part of Be A Voice or join Right the Wrong Coalition, dial 844-642-8378, extension 111.